You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, African Americans have been part of the Wisconsin cultural landscape for several centuries. We learn about their history in northeastern Wisconsin.
But first, it can seem like something out of science fiction, but driverless cars might be rolling up to a street near you in the near future. Here's a show, Silicon Valley, from HBO, where one of the show's characters gets into a driverless taxi for the first time.
Driverless car.
Select destination.
Hi, I'm going to 5230 Newell Road, Palo Alto.
Route guidance calibrated. Distance to destination, 4.6 miles. Buckle up, please.
Okay.
Enjoy your ride.
That was a clip from the HBO series Silicon Valley. In that scene, getting into a driverless taxi seems like smooth sailing, but how soon might that actually be commonplace?
This week, federal officials released a set of guidelines for regulating self-driving cars, looking at issues like safety and communication.
This comes right after the ride-sharing service Uber launched its fleet of driverless cars in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last Wednesday, after being tested for about a year on the city's grid.
Bilga Mutlu joins us now to tell us more about how driverless cars would work. Bilga is an associate professor at UW-Madison in computer science, psychology, and industrial engineering, and he studies how humans interact with computers. Bilga, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, how's it going so far in Pittsburgh?
My understanding is that the testing is, as much as the legislation allows it, will be autonomous driving with an actual person behind the wheel. So if anything goes wrong, the person will step in. Just to kind of test actual driving, get actual driving experience and get a lot of data into the cars before they can really release autonomous vehicles.
Right, and I imagine civilians, you know, those of us not in the industry, would not be terribly comfortable yet with being in a car with no human with their hands near the steering wheel. Is that part of the equation, or are there also safety concerns here?
There are definitely safety concerns, and if you look at the federal guidelines, many of the things that are there about safety, right? So cars are going to make decisions about data that they're collecting based on their models, internal models that are built by engineers, and some of these decisions are not going to be correct, right? So what happens under those circumstances? How are they handled? Really, the guidelines are about that. And a good portion of the guidelines are about how the driver is involved whether you call it a driver if they're not driving. That's kind of an open question. But the humans in the whole system, they could be drivers, passengers, people out on the street. How are they involved in this whole autonomous driverless car experience?
But is it safe to say at this point that the driverless car is not an if thing, that it's a when thing, that this will be something that will be used probably on a mass scale?
I would say that instead of driverless autonomy is definitely a when thing. There will be a lot of autonomy. We're already seeing that. A lot of cars have autonomous features. They could park themselves. They could take over driving in certain portions of the road. That's definitely near term. Driverless, I'm a little more skeptical about, and I think that's a little longer term. So the when of that is kind of really unknown.
And so what are the next steps in getting this sort of thing? What did you call it, an autonomous driver car?
Correct.
What is it? When would that be rolling out, do you think?
I think that could be any time because, like I said, autonomous features are already there. What we need to do is to bring them to the level that people can accept and can use. Most of these things are not that usable by people. One of the guidelines that are released by the federal guidelines set is about the driver-vehicle communication. How does actually the vehicle communicate to its driver when something goes wrong, right? Like I was talking about earlier, the decisions that it has to make based on data that's coming in. What if something is wrong? What if the decisions can't be certain about its decisions? Or let's say that it's driving a stretch of road that it thinks that it could drive, but suddenly something goes wrong and it can't. It has to let the human driver know that now you have to take over control. And how does it actually do that? And how does it know that the person has sufficient awareness to be able to take control? And those are bigger questions than just developing the technology. So I think that's going to take quite a bit of time. And we're probably going to get there sort of iteratively over time, little by little, rather than this big shift. So I don't think we should see a very, very big shift anytime soon. We're going to see sort of the introduction of little by little more and more advanced technology introduced in this space.
You mentioned some big questions there, and one question about how the car communicates with the passenger or the sort of passive driver. How is that working now in trials? Does the car actually talk to the person in the car?
Usually these vehicles, these prototypes that we've seen or for ones that have been released, have more advanced dashboards that could show a lot of information about the state of the car, that could give you additional controls or additional understanding of the vehicle state. But I think that needs to be that these controls and these displays have to be designed even further, because there are many concepts that are being introduced into these driving scenarios that we're not familiar with. For example, how certain the car is about something. That's not something that we worry about today. You know, the car doesn't have to be certain about the road. You know, it's more of on the driver's side, right? The driver has to be certain. So information, there are new types of information that needs to be conveyed between the vehicle and the driver. And that's not something that we know, you know, how to do very well. So these things have to be figured out.
We're talking with Bill Gamutlu right now, associate professor at UW-Madison in computer science, psychology, and engineering, talking to us about what to expect from self-driving or autonomous cars in the future. These are being tested out in Pittsburgh. And one question is, the safety. If these are computers, they're running on a system, and there was this video released recently, a group of researchers hacking Tesla's programming to take control of a car, even including things like its seats, its mirrors, its windshield wipers and brakes. Is this the kind of sort of sci-fi scenario we might have to start worrying about?
I think, there are example industries or technologies where things are done really well. The airline industry, for example, any kind of coding technology that are put on airplanes are tested very, very, very rigorously. And I think we're going to see something similar done in vehicles. So it's tested for cybersecurity, it's tested for safety, it's tested for errors and error handling and communication with humans. So even if technology is ready tomorrow, we're probably going to see a very long phase of testing to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in risk.
President Obama weighed in with some guidelines in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, talking about things like the communication, like you were getting at, and safety. How do you imagine that those sorts of things will be regulated in the auto industry?
It seems like that these guidelines are sort of at a high level. They are at a kind of a sweet spot where it signals to the industry what they should worry about, but it doesn't really regulate them yet. So my guess is that as the industry kind of follows these guidelines and build their technology, we're going to see more and more kind of requirements shaping up and, things that the industry has to supply in order for their vehicles to be certified. So I think this is sort of signaling kind of an iterative process of refining, what is expected of these technologies.
And as we wrap up, should we be excited about this? Is this good news?
Absolutely. Right. This is exciting stuff. This is technology that's hopefully going to help us make our lives easier. People who can't drive today might be able to drive to places, increase their mobility. Just like any technology, it's going to change the way that we do things, and we have to really, get used to it. But at the end, I think this is a good thing at a very high level.
Bilge, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Bill Gamutlu, associate professor at UW-Madison in computer science, psychology, and industrial engineering. And he talked to us about what to expect from autonomous cars.